Hey everyone, this is Achyut Dibhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at Venus's upcoming square to the planet Saturn. So we're doing part one today, a little deep dive with the I Ching, and Friday we're going to take a look at Venus-Saturn combination in light of the fact that the Sun will also be moving through a trine to Pluto, and that Venus and Mars are in mutual reception. So kind of a two-parter today and then Friday. Tomorrow, I'm pretty sure we're going to take a look at three misconceptions about the sign of Leo. So at any rate, that's kind of the agenda for today. And I have some really good texts pulled up from the I Ching. Also today, I'm going to tell you where you can learn more about the I Ching. I've had a lot of people when I do these meditations ask me, well, where can I learn more about the I Ching? It sounds really cool, but I don't really know anything about it. So at the end, I'll give you a little information if you're, in case you're curious. So in the meantime, don't forget right now, as you know, every day between now and November 13th, I am promoting my new course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. We're getting more and more people signing up now. It's really exciting to see enrollment starting to pick up. Here is the course page if you want to check it out. It's nightlightastrology.com. Go to the courses, click on the first year course. If you're an alumni, or you're currently enrolled in one of my programs, you can also check out the Readings and Passages course, which starts in December. I'll be promoting that a little bit more starting in October. At any rate, for this course, there's 30 classes on the year, 12 additional guest lectures. We have breakout study sessions where in between major units, we will have an additional class where you can come and get tutoring help if you need it. We also have a group forum discussion, like a discussion board that happens year round so that there's always lots of good conversation going on. And some students actually organize little groups outside of class to meet up and study too. There's always something cooking in that group. So lots of good stuff there. There's additional homework exercises, flashcards, quizzes if you want to take them, all sorts of things to help you, and a lot of bonus material too. And then toward the end of the program, we also have live clients in. You get to see me read for them, break down those sessions in almost like workshops, like craft workshops. Really great to be able to actually see live readings. Most people love that part of the course the most. I will be probably having some students on to talk about their experience in the program, probably in October at this point. But at any rate, if you have any questions about it, feel free to email us info@nightlightastrology.com. Use the early bird payment to save $500 off right now. That's the best way to go. If you need a payment plan, there is that available for you. And also tuition assistance for people who are in need. Usually about 50 to 60% of our students at this point are on some form of tuition assistance. We are kind of one of the things that my program is sort of known for. Is the fact that it's pretty wide open for people of all budget, requirements, especially people who might be, dealing with hardship. So if you really want to study astrology, maybe you want to start reading for people, you're on a fixed budget for whatever reason, maybe COVID has hit you hard or whatever, you can take advantage of that. If you click on the need-based tuition, it'll tell you more about the requirements for that, but it's pretty open and we try to make it really accessible. So, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate it. I'm going to pull up the real-time clock and we're just going to take a look at Venus's square to Saturn. Remember, we're breaking this up into two parts today. We're going to take a little stroll down the I Ching lane and look at some wisdom that the I Ching has for us about Venus square Saturn. And then Friday, we're going to talk a little bit more technically about the astrology that's coming. So here you can see Venus in Scorpio right now, moving into a square with Saturn. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that Mars has entered Libra. This puts Venus and Mars into mutual reception by debility. They're both in their detriment, but they're in each other's signs. So it's like, I use this in Friday's video too. It's like two drunk friends who can't independently walk home from the bar. So they lean on each other as they walk home. I heard someone say that at one point, can't remember who said it, but that's so true about mutual planets in mutual reception by debility. Anyway, so what does it mean? We're going to talk about what it means Friday that Venus is square Saturn while Venus and Mars are in mutual reception. And also while you can see that the Sun by Friday of this week, that's September 17th, we'll be moving through a trine to Pluto. So we'll be kind of covering that whole series of events on Friday of this week going into the weekend. Next week is huge. We've got a lot starting to cook next week with Mercury square to Pluto, Venus moving into the opposition with Uranus. We're going to be heading into the full moon. Mercury is going to turn retrograde. So the end of September is gnarly. But this week right now, Venus square Saturn, what is that all about? That's what we're going to talk about today. So it's a, here's a very simple way to talk about this. You'll hear me repeat this a little bit on Friday, but what does Venus want? You know, Venus represents our desires as a planet insofar as all of the planets are depicting the kinds of things that move us along in life, which according to ancient philosophers are two things, desire and fear. Things that we want, in other words, are things that we don't want. Or even you could put it desire and aversion. I want this, I don't want that. So every planet, as it's moving along as an archetypal field, is always kind of shedding light on what we might currently want or what we might currently reject or not want. What I desire, what I find repulsive, what I want, what I'm afraid of. So you have to think about Venus. We talked about, you know, Venus and Scorpio. Venus moves into Scorpio and then says, I want this. And remember, as Venus is in Scorpio, it's in the sign of Mars. And so Mars is like the one hosting Venus at his house, being like, all right, let me get you dinner. You want friendship, harmony, agreement, beauty, sensuality. And Mars is like, I've got knives. How's that? You know, so it's, there's always like you can have fun with this principle of asking what a planet wants or what it might be repulsed by. The tricky thing about putting planets in their detriment is that you're putting them in a place that's kind of it's like me going over to, you know, someone's house, and all over their house they're kind of like, astrology is fake, science is real, or something like, you know, let's just say they had some kind of exaggerated, I don't know what. You imagine people actually had posters like that all over their house. So anyway, if I walk into a house like that, well, you know, what would it feel like? I'd be like, well, you know, it's going to be hard to serve me dinner because I happen to like astrology. I don't happen to love, you know, I don't love people who think that astrology is bogus. So, you know, that might be a tough fit for me. Similarly, Venus is like, I'd like peace and agreement. And Mars is like, how about cutting and severing of cords with, you know, with daggers, you know? Okay. So it's tough. We talked about this with Mars entering Libra yesterday. So Venus in a similar spot where it's not exactly easy for Venus to get everything that Venus wants. Now, Venus is also now moving into a square with Saturn. And Saturn is one way of thinking about Saturn. Saturn is like the cosmic negation. It's the big no in the sky, or at least it's a big block or limitation or constraint or contractive energy. So Venus wants peace, but gets knives. And then Venus, you know, Venus is hitting Saturn, who says, wait, it's not going to go quickly. It's not going to go smoothly. So I want peace. Saturn says, sorry, that's not going to be easy here. At least easy, maybe not impossible, but like, that's not going to be easy. Venus is like, well, I'd like something sensual and lovely and pleasant. And, Mars says, well, let's make it really spicy and a little contentious. And Saturn says, and let's make it no. You know what I mean? So you have to kind of picture that Venus is just hitting like a little bit of a hard spot here, where Venus may not have the approval it seeks, or Venus wants to be loved or liked or adored because Venus is beautiful. And Saturn says, I don't have time to give you attention, or I'm not really interested in you right now. It's like if you're you and your loved one, you know, you share time, you're like, we haven't spent time together in a while, and you know, the your significant other is like, oh, well, you know, sorry, I'm really busy, and they're like, but you mean you don't have any interest to spend time with me? You don't feel that it's been over a week since we've hung out? And Saturn's like, no, not really, you know. And so Venus is just like in this position where whatever Venus wants, all the lovely, pleasant, agreeable, harmonious, beautiful things that Venus is naturally representative of, Saturn is offering some kind of stiff arm to. Whoa, if I do that again, watch the camera. Whoa. Okay. Sorry. So Venus is getting the stiff arm from Saturn this week. That's the point. Venus could be agreement in the workplace. Venus could be your sex life. Venus could be your, you know, you're dating someone. Venus could be relationship with your children. Venus could be your child's social life. I mean, Venus could be anything that represents something harmonious, agreeable, beautiful, sensual, lovely, pleasing, pleasant. Venus just wants everyone to get along and to have that, for there to be beauty and desirable things, whether they're inner or outer, material or psychological. Just kind of think about it broadly like that. But it's hitting the square with Saturn. Well, what is Saturn? What is a square? It's of the nature of Mars. And so Venus getting into a contentious relationship while already in a Mars ruled sign, which is counter to its own nature, with Saturn, the cosmic negator. So you just have to kind of imagine, like, that's the zone we're entering into for the next few days. All right, so what does the I Ching have to say about this? A couple of interesting things. First of all, the hexagram that comes back here today is hexagram 52, which is sometimes, you guys have probably heard me talk about this one before. It's described as the mountain. And it's basically, it's a picture of a mountain over a mountain. And the image is associated with keeping still and with meditation. Okay, so why would that come up during a Venus-Saturn square? Well, one of the particular lines of hexagram 52, the second line, reads like this: keeping his calves still, he cannot rescue him whom he follows. His heart is not glad. And then here's the commentary. The leg cannot move independently. It depends on the movement of the body. If a leg is suddenly stopped while the whole body is in vigorous motion, the continuing body movement will make one fall. The same is true of a person who serves a master stronger than themselves. They are swept along, and even though they may halt themselves on the path of wrongdoing, following some kind of corrupt influence or person or leader, they can no longer check the other in their powerful movement. Where the master presses forward, the servant, no matter how good their intentions, cannot save them. Okay, let's talk about this from a few different angles. How many of you guys have ever loved someone and watched them go down a path of destructiveness, and you've been following them partway down that path of destructiveness, and you realize, I've got to stop. And so you try to stop, but they keep going, and your heart's not happy about it because you've managed to stop, but the one you love or the one you've been following is not going to stop. And it's either going to create division between you, or you're not going to be able to help them, and you have to sort of surrender and let them experience their own fate. That's pretty much the definition of like an Al-Anon meeting, for example. Or is there one like, I forget, there's a number of groups that are for family members of alcoholics, right? And I have some family members who've gone to Al-Anon before, in my extended family and stuff like that. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where sometimes you have to separate yourself from people and influences that are not good for you. Isn't that interesting? Venus coming into a square with Saturn. I thought this I Ching reading was spot on. You have to separate yourselves from following other people into a path of destruction, or following people who have some kind of destructive or negative influence on your life. That's an interesting, perhaps a very particular teaching. I don't expect that this teaching would be applied to everyone right now, but it's very specific to Venus-Saturn, because Venus-Saturn will often express itself in terms of broken relationships. But here the I Ching is saying, look, you there's someone that you might be following, or some influence or something, and you need to stop and pull yourself out of a kind of save yourself message here. And your heart might not be glad, because the thing or person you're following, maybe there's some virtue there, maybe there's something you love about them, but you might not be able to save them in the process. On the other hand, this is also a warning about, you know, when we get momentum going down a path that isn't necessarily good for us, and we keep following it, even at the moment where we realize, oh, this isn't good, this isn't healthy for me. Your calves have stopped, but the momentum of your body down a path will carry you forward. And what's probably going to happen is you're going to take a spill. So there's two things about that that come to my mind. One is that, you know, better that you recognize right? That you're going down a wrong path, even if it means spilling out. So for example, I remember, you know, in my early 20s, part of this was in my book. My book, some people actually asked me about my book. My book is called Fishers of Men, The Gospel of an Ayahuasca Vision Quest. And it's the author name is my given name, Adam Ellenboss. So if you look that up, you can find the book that I wrote about ayahuasca. It was published by Penguin 11 years ago now. So at any rate, but you know, in my early 20s, I had a couple of years after I had an injury, and then I got addicted to painkillers. And so that was a really challenging time in my life. And I remember when I first drank ayahuasca, it was very, very clear to me how unhealthy and toxic this drug habit was, which is, you know, people are hearing that, they're like, wait, you took a drug in the Amazon to realize you had a problem with drugs? It's hard to explain. So ayahuasca is very purifying experience. And in the Amazon, it's thought of as a medicine. And so at any rate, but it put me on a path of sobriety. Ayahuasca did, ironically. So coming back, I realized that even though I had these powerful experiences, my social life was wrapped up in people who did a lot of drugs. And so extricating myself from that, I knew was going to be really tricky. And it was unlikely that I was going to be able to like get out of it probably unscathed. And that's exactly what happened. Over the summer, I withdrew from social groups, but not after doing things that I shouldn't have a few more times and really paying the price for it. So, but does that mean that it was a total failure? No, that's just the I Ching, in a sense, is giving us a picture of what happens when you realize that a path you're going down isn't right or isn't desirable, or that people or influences are actually not good for you. And this is important because Venus represents what we desire, what we like, what we find pleasing, but it's debilitated and it's hitting Saturn, who can be really give us the red light and become such a teacher for us in terms of what's actually good for you and what isn't. So Venus hitting the square to Saturn, you may realize there's something in your life that's not necessarily good for you, but stepping away from it might be a little bit of a process. The calves stop the body, but the body's running, boom, the body's going to go over. So, you know, just remember that and know that sometimes some level of consequence is inevitable when pulling out of a relationship or getting out of an influence or something in our lives that's not entirely healthy. A, it's a process. Give yourself a little time and space. B, if you have, you know, if you get some bumps and bruises, so to speak, along the way, that's, you know, that's not only normal, but you shouldn't be too hard on yourself, because, you know, sometimes the process of realizing a bad influence and taking it out of your life takes a little bit. So at any rate, the other thing though to note is that, again, if you are serving something or someone that's not a good influence, that you also may have to differentiate between saving yourself or pulling yourself out of something and trying to save someone else. And you know, the advice in this line of this hexagram is really, you know, be careful, because, you know, for example, here's another example, both psychological and, okay, so it's easy enough when you're like, oh, I can't save a family member from drinking. I've tried and it exhausts me. And you know, a lot of people have to go through something like that, for example, with alcoholics. Now, but let's just say that it's something within yourself. How many of you have gone through this? Let's say that you realize that there's a person within you. Hello. And just like, we'll just use inside of me, his name is Ted, the emotional eater, who likes to eat things before bedtime when really shouldn't eat after, you know, too much after dinner, you know what I mean? So whatever, late at night, Ted is like, let's eat, dude. It's been a rough day. You deserve it. You know? And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to save Ted. You know what I mean? I'm like, look, Ted isn't all bad. You know, we're going on and on. This is in my head. Ted is not all bad. We've got to save him. Just give him like a few chips or something. You know, you know what I mean? listen to this line again. The same is true of a man who serves a master stronger than himself. He's swept along. And even though he may halt himself on the path of wrongdoing, he can no longer check the other in his powerful movement. The master presses forward, the servant, no matter how good his intentions, cannot save him. Sometimes you can't save Ted. sometimes that part of you that's like, well, can't I just have like, maybe, you know, just look, I'm not so bad. Don't kill the nighttime meeting. Just, you know, just moderate it. Isn't moderation more noble anyway? Isn't that always the voice? Like, you shouldn't just eliminate the thing that's bad for you. How about just taming it? How about you just give evening eating Ted just a little bit of Twinkie, you know? And so the problem is then before you know it, Ted's like, give me the third Twinkie, bitch. Get it right now. Excuse my language. So you're like, so there's something here also about like cutting yourself off from something. And that's a Venus Saturn lesson as well, where it's just sometimes it's got to be a hard no. Like you can't save the thing that isn't worth saving, right? And for whatever reason, it might not be worth saving sometimes. And so sometimes it's just got to be a hard no. And you know, that's hard. That's really hard because you know, I think the challenge though is figuring out, you know, for most people, for example, I'm not suggesting that you like for most people, it doesn't work to quit something cold turkey. So this line is really interesting because it's like, you know, don't try to save something that isn't worth saving. Don't try to moderate something that isn't worth being moderate about. You know, it's like, you know, if you have a whiskey habit, you know, like being moderate in how many whiskey shots you take every night is probably like, I mean, maybe it's a step in the right direction, but it's probably not the ultimate solution as much as just like not drinking for someone who has like a problem, right? But, you know, on the other hand, like this line is also telling us that it's pretty normal when you have a lot of momentum going in a negative direction for there to be like some difficulties when trying to halt and stop immediately. So, you know, somewhere between cold turkey and, you know, Ted's trying to convince you that you should just come up with a moderate emotional eating plan. Like there's got to be an answer in there somewhere that's balanced. So I think that's one of the takeaways that I get from this line. Here's another translation of it that's interesting. Not to be affected, but continue with one's goal. With the norm of this hexagram, one should be able to ignore others. However, like the shanks, the legs, being driven by the thighs, one has no volition and simply follows others. Self-cultivation is a work of the heart. It feels unhappy in the heart to follow others, signifying that you need to continue practicing. Isn't that interesting? So here's a variation on the line in its teaching. It's talking about caring too much about what other people think and following other people too much. To the detriment of developing yourself to the point where you can listen to your own heart and follow what's good for it. And that's important because Venus Saturn can be about the pain of rejection or ostracization and the things that we'll do, the lengths that we'll go to make sure we're not ostracized or that we're not rejected. Venus Saturn is a rejecting planet. Mars is a cutting planet. Saturn just rejects and says, other, no. And so Venus Saturn, the pain of rejection is a real thing. But if we're living our lives based purely on the fear of being rejected, how much can we possibly cultivate our heart in that sense? So at any rate, something about rejection. And you see how that goes back to the other teaching that the other translation was working on, which is this idea that sometimes you have to hard reject things. You know, and in rejecting what other people think about you, you can cultivate your own discipline, your own will. And the whole thing here too, is what other people think about you, what other people are doing. If it's dictating too much of your life, the bottom line of this hexagram is that your heart will not feel happy. Isn't that a beautiful teaching? So anyway, I hope that today has been interesting. We're going to end here, but I want to show you where you can learn more about the I Ching. So I'm going to show you I'm going to pull up Amazon and show you my favorite translations. So let's see here. There's a number that are really good. If you want to learn a lot about the I Ching and the history of the I Ching and how to cast the I Ching with yarrow stalks or with coins, I like the Complete I Ching by Taoist Master Alfred Wong. I believe that I'm pronouncing his name correctly. So there's also a book by him called Understanding the I Ching. And so these two companion books, placing them together, if you want to get really deep in, he also has a book about the numerology of the I Ching. These are one of my favorites. There's also a nice place called ijingonline.net. So you'll see the way I approach the oracle sometimes, for example, is going to be, I've just typed up like what I might share for you guys so you can see it. Venus square Saturn insights to share, please. And this might be, say, what I do for my morning meditation as I'm preparing my talk for any given day. And then you'll find that the hexagram will be laid out for you. And then you can click on any of the lines to read about them. The red lines are typically the changing lines. And then there's another website that I really like called ijing123.com. Just really nice translations. There's another person that I really like because, oh no, I don't know what that was. Hillary Barrett, I Ching. Here we go. One L. Okay, so here's Hillary Barrett's book, I Ching, Walking Your Path, Creating Your Future. It's a really nice, very basic book for people who might want something just a little bit more basic and accessible for beginners. She also has a really nice community online. I think it's called Clarity Online or something like that. If you look her up in a Google search, you'll find that she has a whole website devoted to like I Ching community forum discussions. And if you post a reading there, you'll get lots of comments and feedback from people if you're trying to understand it. If you've never used the I Ching before, I would say, you know, a really good place to start is going to be Hillary Barrett's beginner book. So there's others too. James DeCorn has a website where he aggregates probably like 6 or 7 different very famous translators of the I Ching. So you can read lots of different translations of all of the lines and Confucian commentaries and things like that. So yeah, it's a really rich, I mean, it's like astrology, it's a whole world. So it's kind of hard to, especially when I don't teach it. It's just something that I practice privately and incorporate in my, you know, in my videos and blogs and things like that. It's hard to like summarize how to use the I Ching simply, but those are great starting points if you wanted to learn more. Okay, that's what I've got for today. I hope this has been useful for all of you. Don't forget, my new course is coming up. Check it out on my website, nightlightastrology.com. Email us with questions, info@nightlightastrology.com. Love to hear from you guys, and we will be back together again soon. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.